Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Jesus replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." He said, "This is what I shall do. Shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I shall store all my grain and other goods and say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. I was delighted this morning when I saw that we were going to celebrate a votive mass of a happy death. We don't do it enough. And that could happen any day. And we're fools if we don't think about that fact. We don't have all the time in the world. Long-term planning is less important than short-term planning. And so if today our life were demanded of us, would we be rich in what matters? There are two types of people that Jesus is describing in today's gospel. First is the person who thinks that life does consist in possessions, the one who builds bigger grain bins. This scene about looking at Jesus as a judge and arbitrator to settle inheritance disputes is still very valid. People constantly try to use God and His church in order to serve the cause of mammon. I've had to deal with literally these cases. I've had to deal with cases in which several brothers and sisters jointly are heirs of a home, but one is living there because the one doesn't have enough resources to be able to buy a house on their own, or maybe they were caring for the elderly parents. But as soon as the parents are gone, some of the other siblings want to sell the house and throw the sibling out so that they can get their full share of the house. Others trying to hawk mom's jewelry. The significance of who wore that jewelry doesn't matter. It's just how can we get enough money? How can we maximize the profits? And what happens? Not only are families divided as a result of this, but individual souls are corrupted. This is the culture of the storage locker, the culture of the one that tries to constantly aggrandize one's financial portfolio just south of here on Wall Street. We're constantly trying to build up some type of lasting legacy here on earth. But as Jesus would say right after this passage in St. Luke's Gospel, which unfortunately we won't have, give alms, make money bags that moths can't destroy, store up treasure for yourself in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Love for money, for acquisition, for stuff, is the root of all evil, St. Paul says in his first letter to St. Timothy. It all starts by trying to get. And there's another type of treasure that Jesus wants us preparing for. To become rich in what matters to God, to store up treasure for ourselves in heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit was the Alleluia verse. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To put our real treasure in God and the things of God. To become fabulously wealthy in what truly will last. That's the type of thing we would be thinking about today if we're going to be ready for a happy death. There are two ways to grow rich in what matters to God that we can ponder today. First is to become rich in faith. Yesterday we had those haunting words of Jesus at the end of the Gospel. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It wasn't a rhetorical question, it was a real open one. Are people going to be truly living by faith? Today's first reading, St. Paul continues his teaching to the first Christians in Rome about how Abraham was empowered by faith. That God found faith in Abraham, and that's why he was righteous. That's why he was in proper relationship with God. Because he was receiving God's gifts, treasuring them, and willing to give them totally back to him. They were meant to be used rather than own Abraham. Abraham was a very wealthy man, we remember. Lots of flocks there in Ur of the Chaldees. When God asked him to do something in faith, he did it immediately. This type of worldly rootedness wasn't as important. And so off he went, journeying by faith. His greatest treasure, you could say, was Isaac. He was willing to sacrifice even Isaac for the Lord, if that's what the Lord was asking. Because he knew that God would give it back to him. So much the greater. First way we're called to become rich in what matters is receiving God's help truly to grow in faith. To be empowered by faith in every action. St. Paul focuses that we have so much more to be faithful about, to be rich in, than even Abraham did. It was not for him alone that it was written and was credited to him, also for us, to whom it will be credited, who believe. Not just this in this inchoate God who was speaking to Abraham out there in Mesopotamia. But the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over for our transgression, was raised for our justification. We have the incarnation. We have the gospel. We have the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. We have the history of the church, the deeds and the faith of so many saints. This is our inheritance, which empowers us by faith. The second summons that we have in order to become rich in what matters is become rich in charity. It's really only deeds of love that we can take through the eye of the needle. You remember that famous scene with St. Lawrence when Valerian, the Roman emperor and his prefect, gave him a few extra days to live after they had massacred Pope Sixtus II and the six other deacons of Rome. A few days to amass the treasure of the church so that they would be able to destroy it in the hopes of extirpating Christianity once and for all. But Lawrence, in those 3 days, just assembled the poor of Rome and said, "Here is the treasure." Really is the treasure in the way that we're able to store up grain bins that moths can't get to. is through real deeds of love. It's curious in this parable that Jesus gives that when this man has a rich harvest, all he's thinking about is himself. You, rest, eat, drink, be merry. He had so much grain that he didn't even have enough place to put it. And while others were hungry, he was just tearing down bins and building bigger ones. His life was demanded of him. If today were the last day of our life, how would we spend it? How would we spend ourselves? What types of acts of charity will we do? Will we be patient with that person who's driving us nuts? Will we volunteer where we hear the bell? Will we run to somebody who needs it, knowing that we might not get there otherwise? These are all ways that the Lord puts within our reach by which we can grow rich in what matters to Him. Today, this morning, the Lord gives us the greatest riches of all. He places Himself, the pearl of great price, within us. He who is our treasure comes within so that we can build an extraordinary grain bin of charity. May the Lord give us the faith, like Abraham, to empower us to seize this day. Praise be Jesus Christ.